Today on Real Radio.
The Bible says ask him. And then once you ask him, you are to go expectantly. It's all done by faith. And you might ask, what's going to happen when I get his power in my life?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his topical series now called, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? Pastor Jack's been delivering a series within a series, if you will, called The Holy Spirit at Work in You. Now, so far, we've learned about some of the gifts of the Spirit, but did you know that the Holy Spirit has worked in the lives of God's people in both the Old and the New Testaments? That might be a new thought for you. And if you're a true believer, He is indeed at work in you as well. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his mini-series called The Holy Spirit at Work in You.
Jesus says, I will pray the Father and He will give you another helper, the Parakletos, the Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But note this, mark it, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you orphaned or orphans. I will come to you. What a great thing that is. You want to have Christ active in your life, then that's going to be the Holy Spirit at work in you. And what that means is the Holy Spirit, church, listen, the Holy Spirit, yes, He's here right now. We'll learn more of this in a moment. Yes, He's in Haiti. Yes, He's in Canada. Yes, He's in Hollywood right now. He's everywhere. And so when the Lord says, I want you to go out there, the Holy Spirit is not only waiting for you to get there, the Holy Spirit is in you, sending you there. It's amazing. Guys, it's a win-win deal for us as believers. It's so exciting. And how could we do ministry without the Holy Spirit? We can't do true ministry without the Holy Spirit. It's not possible. The church today, I believe, listen, is in a great position. I really believe that. I mean this church, and I mean the church in the world. Here's the reason why. And yes, I'm aware that we're living in these last days the Bible talks about. Yes, I'm aware that we're very much in what the book of Revelation would call a Laodicean period. That is, the church looks dead. By and large, there's a lot of people that name the name of Jesus, but there's anything but Christianity coming out of them. I understand that. I'm talking about real Christianity. I'm excited about the time and the age in which we live in. Yes, it's challenging, but listen, when it's challenging, it's also very hard to go to sleep when it's challenging. Persecution starting to break out against Christians all around the world, and we'll probably soon see it here in America. We shouldn't be afraid of that. Historically, persecution always strengthens the church. Satan knows that. You attack the church, it gets stronger. By the way, history has shown for the last 2,000 years, attack the church and it grows. Real growth, not looky-loo growth. Let's go see what's going on kind of growth. People hungering and thirsting for God. And for years, much of what's I call churchianity has taken place in Jesus' name. Church being done by human effort and ingenuity without the Holy Spirit. We've seen the social gospel preached for many years in America. The 12-step self-improvement approach to God. We can do it. We can grab our bootstraps and pull ourselves up and we can make it happen. In America, we've got churches, and I'm not knocking. Look, you're sitting in a big church, so I'm not knocking this church. I'm not knocking any particular church. But we have to be careful because you know what? You can throw money at something and make it look anointed. And that's a dangerous thing. We've mastered that as Americans. We can so do it up that it looks right and it looks great, but is God in it? The social gospel, I think, hurt the church greatly. And then, you guys all know, we've seen the get-rich gospel of the church, the prosperity gospel movement. God wants you rich. That only works in places where people have money to give to the guy that's saying that. And then he takes all the money, and he's the one that leaves, and he's the one that's rich. And it's a heretical teaching. And people fall for it because see this stuff pumped up. They see this stuff looking fantastic. And they conclude, well, God must be in that. And then there's the word faith gospel of the church. You can create your own reality by the words you use. Don't say, you know, I've actually, maybe you have too. I have seen people sick. They're really sick. They've got the flu, they're sick, but they've come from that word faith. Don't confess it. Man, you look like you're sick. Let me pray for you. I'm not sick. And they're throwing up. You're sick. I'm not sick. I'm not going to say it. Look, you're sick. I'll say it for you. You're sick. Let me pray for you. The Bible says to pray for those who are sick. Don't pray for me. I'm not sick. And the guy's unbelievable. Things done and mentioned always, oh, it's the Spirit of God. It's the Holy. And the Word of God is violated for some fad, for some strange doctrine that's not biblically based on half-truth. It's a very scary time. Why? What's going on? The Bible says, Jesus said it, the Holy Spirit will bring to our memory, to bring to our recollection, the Word of God. Romans 13, verse 1 says, know this, or knowing that the time, it is now high time, that we awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. That's good news. So church, listen. This is all introduction, by the way. I hope you're enjoying yourself. We're almost there. What the church needs today, tonight, isn't another program or a seminar. Listen, the church needs more of the Holy Spirit. Church family, if we're going to survive the 21st century, no, strike that. I will not be content to survive the 21st century. We have been made more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. If we are going to be triumphant, it is going to be because of our radical dependence upon the Holy Spirit. To seek the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to consult the Spirit. It's His job to get you and I from here to heaven. That's His desire. That's what He wants. So here we go as we jump back into our series right now. Who is the Spirit of God? We continue. Pick up where we left off. He is God, the omnipotent Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the omnipotent Spirit. He's the all-powerful Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And the church needs His power today. The church seems to exist between revivals. I want you to think about that statement for a moment. The church throughout history seems to exist between revivals. That is, the church of believers, either in a state of acceleration or coasting. One or the other. The power of the Holy Spirit, church, mark this. And I'm saying this to, I hope, generate a passion in your heart. Because revivals, by the way, always start with an individual and it spreads like fire. Now watch this. You and I, personally, as a Christian, we are either accelerating with God or we're coasting. In a revival, you are accelerating. Now, you can be right here, right now, experiencing a personal revival in your life. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit. You are desperate for the things of God. You are hungering for the Bible. You can't get enough of Him. And the Spirit of God is moving in your life, and you love it. And you're saying, man, if I knew this about Christianity, I would have become a Christian sooner. This is amazing. I love it. It's fantastic. And you're going along. And by the way, you're going so wonderfully fast in the Spirit of God, you're moving at warp speed. And have you noticed that as you're following Jesus, all the riffraff friends that you used to have are just kind of getting blown away in the astro dust as you fly away? They're like, they're getting blown because you have got your eyes so set on Jesus, you're moving. David said, the Lord is ever before my face. He said that in the midst of a personal revival. Hungering for God. Your friends call you up, hey, come on, let's go do that thing, or let's go over there. And you say, you know what, I can't. What are you going to do? I'm going to stay home tonight. Oh, come on, you're going to get bored. No, you know what? And you think of something, or you just flat out tell them, I want to be with God. They're going to think you're nuts. Listen, they already think you're nuts. Just be with God. It's amazing. And you have a personal revival. Now watch this. The Bible warns us to maintain that. If we don't, we begin to coast. And if we begin to keep on coasting, we'll begin to eventually what the Bible calls backslide. And the church has existed for 2,000 years, either in a state of acceleration or coasting? I want to ask you tonight, are you coasting or are you accelerating? What's going on in your life? And the great thing about those who are accelerating is when somebody asks you, what's God doing in your life? You've got an answer. I think, by the way, we all ought to start asking one another that. Hey, what's God showing you? What's going on in your life? What's happening? You ought to be able to answer that. If you go, no, man, I hope nobody asks me that question, then you're coasting. The Lord showed me a vision years and years ago of this church. I don't know if I've ever shared this publicly. The vision that I saw about this church was the Mojave Desert, barren desert. And there was a cloud in the distance, a little cloud like the size of my fist. And as the cloud was approaching my vantage point, I saw beneath the cloud a train, a steam engine train, with a flat car on the back and a big bucket, a big bronze bucket. And the cloud was going across the desert floor, and right underneath that cloud was that train, and the rain was falling from that train, and it was going right into that big bucket. The engine was propelled, I guess, supernaturally. There was no fire, there was no anything else, no coal. And the train was moving across the California desert, and every so often that big bronze bucket would get filled up, and when the train would make a turn, the bucket would spill all over the desert floor and the desert would blossom. And then time would go by. And by the way, behind the train was the track that it was riding on. In front of the train, there was no track. The cloud came first, then the track and the train appeared at the exact same moment. And desert areas would bloom into oases. To this day, I've asked God, Lord, show me what that is. Show me what that means. That dream vision's probably 20 years old. But to me, that's a great picture of revival taking place. Accelerating or coasting. You know, you can pull the power off of a train. There's enough inertia, there's enough history, there's enough power, there's enough kinetic energy to keep that train going, and it will slow down ever so slowly that the naked eye, your eye, my eye, will not notice it slowing down at all. Did you know that? That's much like Christianity, isn't it? You begin to back away, you cool down a little bit, and nobody exactly notices real quick if you're slowing down. You don't want to be coasting. The church is powerless today in many regions because of a poor diet spiritually. The church is eating junk food instead of the Bible, more symposiums and more things rather than Bible. You might ask this evening, do I need his power in my life? Absolutely. Listen, we need his power to defeat temptation. We need his power so that we can become mature. We need his power because that's how people are truly influenced for God. You might ask, how do I get his power? Number one, by recognizing your great need and my great need for his power. Can you admit tonight, I need the power of God in my life? Oh boy, I tell you, it's a great thing to need his power. And then you not only recognize your need, but stand up to receive his power. He wants to give it. And then you want to ask him. The Bible says, ask him. And then once you ask him, you are to go expectantly. It's all done by faith. And you might ask, what's going to happen when I get his power in my life? One of the greatest pictures of getting his power in your life is in the Old Testament book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Isaiah 6, 1 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. That is, the glory of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. These are awesome things. We're going to see these things someday, you guys. We're going to see these things. Are you ready? Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. And one cried to another, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And Isaiah says, verse 4, the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And so I said, woe is me. The word woe, undone. Isaiah says, I have nothing in me, for I'm undone because I'm a man of unclean lips. He said, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King. Oh, listen, this is revival. The Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, listen to this, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And then that's Isaiah, said, here I am, send me. And he said, go and tell this people. Church, that's awesome. Can somebody say amen? Amen. That gets me pumped up. Isaiah strutting around the palace. His old friend, the king, drops dead. Isaiah realizes, wow, my world just got a big earthquake shake up. And he saw a vision of heaven. He sees the Lord. And then he says, woe is me. I'm undone. God is holy. I'm not. And he's overwhelmed with his weakness of his inability. And note this, the atonement that takes place. A seraphim brings over the coals, signifying the burnt offering. By the way, Jesus Christ is our burnt offering. And Isaiah is purged. He's made clean, declared pure, by the way, by the Lord. And the Lord says, all right, go. What a great thing. Personal revival. If that happens in your life and my life, we are going to be in a church experiencing revival. And if that happens, here's what truly takes place. If we experience revival, then other churches will begin to experience revival around us. And then other churches in other counties. Can you imagine a revival breaking out in LA County? Hey, listen, it's not too far-fetched. Some of the greatest works of recent history has been God's work in the greater Los Angeles area. Seriously, the Azusa Street Revival. Think of that. Amazing things have happened. Southern California has a history of receiving God's favor and grace. Don't you think it's time? Oh, I think it's time. I think it's time for a revolution in the Spirit. God wants to do something. Are we desperate enough to say, God, I can't do it, but you can do it. I know you can. And God says, all right, go. And if you ask the Lord, Lord, fill me, then here's what he's expecting you to do. You got to get up and you got to go. He wants you to go. So you can't say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. All right, go ahead, somebody out there. Send somebody out there, God. He's not going to fill you. It's like giving a little kid an Indianapolis Indy car or a Formula One car. He can't drive that thing. You should give that to me. A little kid needs a little push car that goes around town, you know? We need a balance, though, in the body of Christ regarding his Bible. Listen carefully. You guys are Bible students, and I appreciate that. But we need to be careful. We can get so caught up in only doing Bible study and never leaning upon the Holy Spirit that we get so academically sterile that we can become so committed to being right that we become dead right with no Holy Spirit being freed in our lives. There's a balance. We need to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit. He wants to do radical stuff. We were just praying before the service tonight, and I'm concerned about this. We have Sunday services, and they're almost down to the minute, right? Because there's so much going on. We got to move thousands of cars out and back in and get people in and out. That's a dangerous thing. That really concerns me. Because the Holy Spirit, what if he wants to do something? Oh, listen, some of you will never come back after I say this, but what if, like in Russia and in other places in the world where we've preached the gospel, the people will not leave for 3 hours? They won't go. What if that happened here next Sunday? Oh, you'd say, man, that church is, that place is nuts. You know what? I like that kind of nuts. The Holy Spirit is often, listen, he's always a gentleman. The Holy Spirit does everything decently and in order. But what if he began to pour out his Holy Spirit like some of the great movements where there were prayer meetings that went for, it was a 1 hour prayer meeting and they wound up going 6 hours and 8 hours. And then some of them went for days. And England and in America, prayer meetings began to break out. And the police department, the NYPD, in early turn of the century, New York, they had to lay off the police department in Manhattan because crime went to zero because a revival broke out. That's American history. Imagine that. Imagine that. He wants to do amazing things. The Bible tells us in Micah 3, verse 8, I am full of power by the Holy Spirit of the Lord, says Micah. So how do we get this power? Yes, we recognize. Yes, we stand up to receive it. Yes, we ask Him. And yes, we go expectantly. The beautiful thing is to realize this, that God, the Holy Spirit, He's here with us. He's promised to be everywhere where the Word of God is exalted in a teaching sense, but the Bible teaches us that He's everywhere. More on that in a moment. Luke chapter 11, mark it down. This is a great verse, passage of Scripture, Mark 11. Now look, church, if you were not here last week, you missed it. Where were you? Listen, Luke 11 is amazing because Jesus is speaking to believers already. And you, being a Christian, the Holy Spirit, the moment you accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit moved inside you. Imagine, the door of your heart opened up, and He drove on in, and the door closed, and He set up house. And He ain't leaving. That's why when you walk away from God, you're so miserable. He's not going. He's in there. He's sealed you, the Bible says, into the day of redemption. But the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we talked about Him coming upon you. Now, regarding you receiving that power, what we're talking about tonight. Luke 11, verse 9 says, Jesus said it. So I say to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and to he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Well, no. Unless you're really a sick person, you don't do that. Or if he asks for you a fish, will you give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then being evil, the word evil is not evil like you think, evil. It's if you then being human and you know how to give good gifts to your kids, to your children, watch the contrast. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who, what? Ask. I want the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit. Okay, ask Him. Are you a Christian? Yes. You have the Spirit in you. But to have the Holy Spirit's empowerment upon you for daily victory, daily ministry, for dynamic, you ask Him to come upon you. And you ask over and over again. Every day you ask. Sometimes throughout the day. On Sundays, I'm asking all day long. Before service, coming out here tonight, I'm asking. And then look at this. Secondly, He's God, the omnipresent Spirit. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. In the teaching of the Bible, the Holy Spirit is said to be everywhere at the same time. The omnipresence of God. He's not only all-powerful, He's everywhere. And the church needs His presence today. I love this topic. I love this point right here. How can you tell if the Holy Spirit is at work in your local church?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson that takes a look at what Scripture says about the Holy Spirit at work in you. In fact, that is the title of the series within a series, The Holy Spirit at Work in You. It's part of Pastor Jack's bigger collection of studies called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, it is Monday, which means that tonight you can catch our television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs airs every Monday night, 7 o'clock West Coast time on hischannel.com. Now, did you catch last Monday's program? If not, not a problem. Just click on Video on Demand right there at the top of the page. On recent programs of Real Life with Jack Hibbs, Pastor Jack has sat down with some fascinating guests to talk about some of the hard-hitting issues of our day. Kurt Bruner, Jacob Prash, David Hocking, and of course tonight we've got another great show for you. That's Real Life with Jack Hibbs, Monday nights at 7 West Coast time on his channel, hischannel.com. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J., and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.